We welcome our honored guest from the Baptist Children's Homes, but we also have a special celebration as part of our church family today. The first pews down front are full of the Honeycutt family, and they are here to celebrate Edith Honeycutt's 90th birthday. Edith, this is the biggest crowd we've had in church in a long time. So everybody knew it was your birthday. And two of your granddaughters will be singing in just a few minutes. This is a special day, and we wish you God's blessings and all of the best on this happy day. And isn't it wonderful that you have family from all over the country who have come to celebrate with you? And we have gathered as God's children to worship together. Let us worship God.
Let us pray. Lord God of heaven and earth, we gather in your sanctuary. Through creation, you've given us the gift of life. Through your providence, you've given us the gift of daily provision. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, you've given us the gifts of salvation, of meaning, and of hope. Receive today as we gather in your sanctuary our praise and our thanksgiving. Amen. Another word of welcome as we join together as the body of Christ here at First Baptist. Many we know are visiting with us along with the Baptist Children's Homes and folks visiting with them, and we welcome you to this sanctuary. Have visitors cards in front of you in the pew. If you place them in the offering plate later in the service, we welcome you. Many join us by radio. and also through the internet as we welcome you to First Baptist as we gather on this day of worship and celebration. Welcome.
This is the day we celebrate our ministry to children.
We thank God for the blessings of children.
This is the day we rejoice together as God's children.
Some of us are young, some of us are old. We are all children of heaven and our God.
Together we will learn from one another.
Together.
Thank you. We pray. Heavenly Father, this time of the year, we especially feel your presence in nature. We feel the refreshing fall air on our faces, and we know it is from you. And we love your artwork and the colorful autumn leaves. Each season brings us new joy, each day new hope. But there are those about us who have hope weakened by situations outside their control. Help us as we help them. Well, thank you, dear God, for the many opportunities we have to serve others and to share our blessing with them. Our tithes and offerings are expressions of our commitment to pass our blessings on to others. May we give generously as we share our blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our gospel lesson today is from the 19th chapter of Matthew. And then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands upon them and pray. But the disciples rebuked the people. But then Jesus said, "Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and went away. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
In November of 1885, a Reverend John Mitchell, who was one of the original trustees of the Baptist orphanage, arrived in Thomasville at the newly constructed Mitchell Building.
Thank you, Dr. Ray Howell. It's such a joy and privilege and really a great honor to be here today. And that was an incredible introduction. It really captures all the wonderful history and heritage that First Baptist Church of Lexington has had from the very beginning of the orphanage, the Baptist Children's Homes of North Carolina. As visionary as John Mills, John Mitchell, as visionary as they were, I'm not sure they could have ever realized that we would be in 20 North Carolina communities now and that we would have an orphanage in Guatemala. And yet, despite all of that, we are celebrating 130 years anniversary this year of the Baptist Children's Homes Mills Home Campus in Thomasville. Thank you for your support. Ray, thank you for your friendship and encouragement. Tommy, we go way back even to the 70s when you were a student down at Wingate, and I appreciate all that Dr. Howell has had to say. Now, I have had something to say. You may not hear another word I'm going to say because the children, the young people, and the staff are going to come to the stage right now. So what I usually do at this time is ask you to pick out a face. Pick out somebody. Because of all those who are on this stage and standing here, there is a story. It is a story many times of abuse or abandonment or trauma. I want you to look at that face, and I want you to keep it in mind, and I want you to go ahead right now and start praying for this person. Everybody, including you, has a story to tell. These children, these young people, they have a story to tell. So have you picked out that face yet? Have you picked it out, those beautiful faces, some of them that got up so very, very early this morning to come all the way down from the mountains? You may have an opportunity after this service today to speak to them and to say just how much you appreciate them and how much you are praying for them. Lives have literally been turned around because somebody has prayed for these children, these young people, and the staff. And I want to just say to all of you who are here today as young people in care how much we appreciate your being here and how much we appreciate our award-winning staff being here too. Now, you know, we've got to do first things first. There is somebody who is having a significant birthday who is here in this sanctuary today. Miss Edith, you are 90 years old today, and we have a special gift from the children to you. Hit it, Randy. This will be happy birthday, Miss Edith.
Thank you. kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Do now. I just want you to just take a quick look at these boys and girls up here and realize that you may never see a sight like this again. It's so rare that we're able to get together like this. And I want you to look and see who it was that you were praying for. They're going to go back to their seats now, and I'm going to ask Jonathan and his brother Thomas to come here right here beside me as everybody goes back down. So y'all go on back down and just take a look, because you may never see this again. We have young people today from Mills Home in Thomasville, Broy Hill Home in the Waynesville-Clyde area, Cameron Boys Camp, and Camp Duncan for Girls. We have a Thanksgiving offering video every year. In the 25th anniversary booklet of the orphanage, Dr. Martin Luther Kessler, one of my predecessors, said, "The Thanksgiving offering is the umbilical cord for the orphanage." Now, you know what an umbilical cord does. It gives nourishment. It gives life. This year, our Thanksgiving offering goal is $1,500,000. Tommy leaned over to me and said, this is the first church you've been at this year. And I said, well, this is about the 30th church, because he knows I go everywhere about every Sunday. So I want to thank these two guys here, because they are the ones that are featured in the Thanksgiving offering video this year. And I just wanted you guys just to quickly give what your favorite Bible verse is. Would you do that?
My favorite Bible verse is John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in Him should not perish but have eternal life."
Okay, now what I want you to do, I want you to do that again, and I want you to do it just a little bit slower this time.
My favorite Bible verse is John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in Him should not perish but have eternal life."
All right, now let me ask you this. Why do you like to sing?
Because it's glory to God.
It's glory to God. That's why we all need to sing. Now, John, what is your favorite Bible verse? And first of all, happy birthday this week. You're going to be 14 this week. What's your favorite Bible verse?
Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Philippians 4:13. Now that's a significant verse for me because when I got married, my wife gave me a watch. And on the back of that watch was inscribed Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who is my strength. Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate that very much. All right, Paulina is going to come now and share with us something of her testimony. And she is working here in Davidson County. She'll make mention of that. She goes all over North Carolina with Brenda Gray and me, and with Randy Stewart, and with Roberta. She is a blessing to me. She is a blessing to all of our kids. She's a role model. And this is what we like for those who grow up in the children's homes to be, to other children and young people. God bless you, Paulina.
Thank you. Good morning. As Dr. Blackwell shared, my name is Paulina, and I am 25 years old. I actually just turned 25 yesterday, so yay. I was a former child in care at Baptist Children's Homes for about 6 years, specifically the Thomasville Mills Home campus, which is just a couple miles away from here. I wanted to share my testimony with you all this morning, but before doing so, I wanted to share my favorite scripture verse. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Prior to being a child in care at Baptist Children's Homes, my family life was difficult, and my family situation at home was very dysfunctional. My biological father was controlling and abusive to my mom and constantly found ways to punish her. By putting me in harmful situations as a young child. When I was 3, my parents divorced, and my dad actually gave up rights to me as a child, and my mom moved down here to North Carolina from up north. She raised me as a single parent for quite a few years until remarrying when I was 7 years old, and I remember this time in my life because I was really, really...
It was so named because he and his brother were the financial benefactors. But he brought a little girl with him. Her name was Mary Presson. And she became the very first child to be enrolled in what we know today as the Baptist Children's Homes of North Carolina. Mary Presson Yarbrough, as an adult, was an active and a faithful member of First Baptist Church of Lexington. And do you remember Mary Ann Corn? You do. And I thought you would, because she was very active and faithful to this church. Of course, Ann's one of our newer members. She's only been a member for 90 years or so. You know, from the very beginning, our church and the Baptist Children's Homes have shared a common bond and commitment. There have been so many members of our church family who have been a part of the Baptist Children's Homes family. Jewel Dill, who so wishes she could be with us today, grew up in Mills Home in Thomasville. And we have many members of our church who have served our children's homes as staff members or as members of the administrative team. This church has a rich legacy of providing leadership to Baptist Children's Homes. Peggy Barnhart, who is playing for us today, has been a trustee. Hubert Philpott, the Philpott family, have been very committed to the Baptist Children's Homes providing leadership. But especially the Wall family. The Wall family has served the Baptist Children's Homes of North Carolina for several generations. Carol Wall served many years as a trustee. He served as chair of the trustees. And in 1983, he was instrumental in bringing a new president to the Baptist Children's Homes of North Carolina. Sterling Wall continues the family legacy, as he has served several terms as a trustee, and he is currently on the board. And by the way, that new president who came in 1983 that Carol Wall and Dr. Olin Binkley brought to Thomasville, well, he's still there. In fact, he's here. He's here with us today. Dr. Michael Blackwell has provided visionary and solid leadership for Baptist Children's Homes for over 33 years. And he's like the ever-ready bunny. He just keeps going and keeps going, and we hope he'll keep going for many years to come. I'm thankful to call Mickey Blackwell my friend. Going back to his early days in Thomasville when I was still pastor in Roxborough. And we are delighted to welcome Dr. Michael Blackwell, the members of the staff, and most especially the children and young people who call Baptist Children's Homes of North Carolina their home. We are blessed by your presence today, and we welcome you to First Baptist Church of Lexington.
Excited as a young child, growing up without a stable and healthy father figure was something that I just had a lot of questions about. So to finally have a father figure in my life was very exciting for me. My mom and new stepdad, they were married for quite a few years through my teenage years until I was 14. And things became very chaotic in our household. Extremely got to the point where they were extremely dysfunctional and ended up getting to the point where I was no longer able to stay at home. At that time, I was placed into care at Baptist Children's Homes in Thomasville. And originally, it was just going to be for a short amount of time until things could get situated between my mom and my stepdad. When I came into care, I was struggling. I had just started high school. And so for a lot of us, if you know teenagers, we're already, you know, struggling with stuff on our own. We don't need extra stuff to kind of juggle as well. So it was just a very difficult time in my life. When I came into care, I was angry and I was hurting. I was not trusting adults very easily. And I took out some of that anger and some of that frustration on my house parents. But regardless, they did not give up on me. One of the most significant things that really impacted my life as a child in care at Baptist Children's Homes was the unconditional love that was shown to me. I remember that time when I was really struggling with my relationship with my mom and stepdad, and it was very hard to realize that, you know, they were not showing me the love that I really needed, the love and the support that I needed at that time. But the staff and the child care workers at Baptist Children's Homes showed me unconditional love. They loved me as if I was their own child, and they were complete strangers to me, and that alone was very significant when my own family was struggling with doing just that. I spent a total of 6 years in care, and over the course of those 6 years, I accepted Christ in my heart. I remember that day, it was August 16th of 2006, and I had just come back from what we call a family meeting, a family visit with my stepdad, and things were just not improving with my family situation, and at that point, I was not going to be able to return home at that time, and I was just really, really beaten down by that. I was very frustrated, and I came back to the cottage, and my house parent, Bobby Dahlke, sat down with me at the dining room table and shared with me that I had a heavenly father that loved me very much, and that the weight that I was carrying with my family situation, with it not improving, was something that I did not need to carry by myself, and that I had God, a heavenly father that could provide for me more than any earthly father. And that night, Mr. Dahlke led me to Christ. And things didn't just change, you know, overnight. I definitely had to put a lot of effort into it and start living a Christian lifestyle. But through the support, the daily encouragement, through that support of Baptist Children's Homes and my house parents, I was able to do so. I went on to college. I actually started out at the community college because I was a little hesitant with kind of going too far away. You see, Thomasville, the Mills Home campus really became home to me, and that was something that was very important. I went to the community college, got an associate's degree. I didn't stop there. I went to UNCG, transferred in, and earned a bachelor's degree in social work. I also received an award while I was at UNCG for the most outstanding senior in social work, which was a blessing. And I was able to share about my testimony at our graduation for our department graduation. I also went on to work on a master's degree at UNC Chapel Hill and actually just finished that this past May. So I was able to earn a master's degree in social work. And I interned for a couple of years with the local county government and was able to secure a job as a foster care social worker a couple of months ago, almost coming up on a year now. So God is good. God is good. And social work to me is a passion. It's a calling, and it's something that I feel that I can give back to others in the same manner that Baptist Children's Homes invested in me and gave hope to me. I just want to thank your church for the opportunity to come and share. I hope that there's something that you can pull from my testimony this morning that will be encouraging to you all. And I just want to thank Pastor Howell and Mr. Wall for your support and continued prayers of the Baptist Children's Homes. Thank you.
The girls coming now are from Broyhill Home, which is out in Clyde. And as these young ladies come, we're going to do a song this morning that's significantly used at Easter time. But to these young ladies who do this song and they perform it, it's a brand new song to them, and it's good for all year long. Of course, all the songs that are in the church that we sing are Easter-based songs, but this song in particular, and this is a beautiful song, but as we worship together with this song, just to keep in mind that these children that are up here to perform have a very different life than what you may have been used to. Not a word was heard at the tomb that day, just shuffling soldiers' feet as they guard the grave. One day, 2 days, 3 days had passed. Could it be that Jesus had breathed his last? Could it be that his father had forsaken him, turned his back on his son, despising our sin? All hell seemed to whisper, just forget him, he's dead. Then the father looked down to his son and said, arise, my love, arise. my love. The grave no longer has a hold on you. No more death sting, no more suffering. Arise, arise, my love. The earth trembled and the tomb began to shake. And like lightning from heaven, the stone was rolled away. And as dead men the guards stood there in fright, as the power of love displayed its might, then suddenly a melody filled the air, riding wings of wind. It was everywhere. The words all creation had been longing to hear, the sweet sound of victory so loud and clear. Arise, my love, arise, my love. The grave no longer has a hold on you. No more death sting, no more suffering. Arise, arise. Sin, where are your shackles? Death, where is your sting? Hell has been defeated. The grave could not hold the king. Yeah, yeah. Arise, my love. Arise, my love. The grave no longer has a hold on you. No more death sting, no more suffering. Arise, arise, arise.
Thank you, young ladies from our Broyhill campus. Thank you, Adam. Adam is a house parent. And what a voice this guy has, too. And what a voice a lot of our kids have. They are singing and they are praising God for what God has done for them. We come now to the climactic part of this worship service, and I want you to be in prayer. And I want you to be thinking in your own mind and in your own heart what you have felt and what you have experienced in this time of worship today. It is a time when I want you to examine your own mind, your own heart, your own spirit. Where are there points in your life, and every one of us is up against it in one way, shape, or form. What are the points in your life that you need to be touched? What are the points in your life that you need to say, I forgive and I accept forgiveness? Roberta Brunk is going to come now and lead us in the climactic part of this service, and I do want you to be in a spirit and a prayer of attitude that God can speak to you and that you will hear what God has to say and we'll respond accordingly.
Hasn't always been as good as the life that I now live. When I was 10 years old, I was taken out of my home and placed in a separate foster home than my 8-year-old sister and my 6-year-old brother. The reasons were numerous, from physical abuse to neglect. I weighed 52 pounds and was in the 5th grade. We never ate a meal together as a family, and the kids slept outside many nights, forbidden to come back in. My little sister was made to stand in the snow on Christmas Day without food because she loved our dad more than my mom's boyfriend. And seeing how she'd refused to call him dad, he made her stand outside. He then made my little brother and I go out and taunt my sister with the Christmas gifts that we had received because she had received nothing that year. My little brother, 6 years old, liked to talk in the car like most 6-year-olds. And Frank said that since he liked to talk so much in the car that we would have him go inside and talk for a whole hour when we got home. If not, he would be beaten. Well, my little brother, after we got home, was taken inside with my mom. And for 1 hour, Frank beat him because my little brother had nothing to say. By the time his back and bottom was done being beaten, he was purple and black. My mother just sat watching all of this, never stopping any of it. They would make me wear my feces in a cup around my neck for punishment, make me go out in public like that, and I was humiliated and ashamed, as you can imagine. Those are just a few of the painful memories that I have of my childhood. And one day, while visiting my aunt, she called Department of Social Services. And they came to our house and took pictures of our bodies, which always had bruises on them, and turned in my mother and her boyfriend for child abuse. I remember that day because my mom came to the house and she was screaming at us to get into the car. We were going home. I took off running to the back bedroom with my brother and my sister, and I locked us in the room. My little brother and sister began to cry. They said, "Sissy, please don't open the door, because you know if you do, Mom will take us back to Frank and he'll beat us." I was really scared. I was 10 years old, afraid to open the door. I could hear my mother on the other side screaming at me to open the door, and then begin to soften, begin to tell me she loved me. And I wanted to believe that. My aunt had told me that the police had been called, and if I would just wait until they got there, that they would help us and protect us. When I heard the police officer say, "Roberta, you can open the door," reluctantly I did. But as I reached out to grab him, my mother also grabbed me. She was screaming, "Please don't take my babies. Please don't take my babies from me." And as the police officer said, "If you will leave Frank, we'll help you find a place where you and your kids can be together, and we'll help you take care of them." My mother said, "If I have to choose between him and my kids, I choose him." And in that moment, something in me said, "I hate you. I hate you, and I will never forgive you for what you are doing to us." Immediately, they took my brother and my sister, and they placed us in long-term foster care in separate foster homes. There were 52 counts of abuse and neglect placed on my mother and her boyfriend, which she later married. For the next 5 years, I would see my brother and my sister for 1 hour each month, as Department of Social Services could get us together. It was then that they decided to be able to bring my brother and my sister and I to the same place, and the Baptist Children's Homes of North Carolina was now the place that I would call home. I had a huge family there that loved me and took care of my daily needs. I attended church and gave my life to Jesus Christ. I graduated high school, and with the help of Baptist Children's Homes, I went to college. And that is the story that I gave for several years. I thought if I gave you guys the details about my past, you'd understand the bitterness, the anger, the resentment that I held in my heart. But that is not my story. That is not my story. The story that I'm here today to share with you is one of love and forgiveness, because I have found Jesus Christ. You see, when I saw that the Lord allows nothing to happen to me outside of His sovereign will, I was able to forgive my mom and forgive Frank. And in that, there is such a joy. There is such a freedom that I did not know existed before. So what is my story? I came to Baptist Children's Homes. I had house parents that loved me. I started going to a wonderful church where my pastor showed me the love, the mercy, the compassion of Jesus. There are times in my life that I went through the trials in my life that I know that I might be a blessing to other people. To share my knowledge of a Father, He is my protector. He is my healer, my provider, because I have been given so very much to be thankful for. I have two wonderful children, Noah and Hannah, and by the grace of God, He's given me the grace to break the cycle of abuse in my own home and to show my children the love that He has shown to me. I am not perfect, but I do love the Lord with all of my heart. My mom, my husband Aaron, was deployed to Afghanistan, and my mom was very sick. And the Lord wanted me to bring my mom to my home and take care of her. And that was a really hard thing, as you can imagine. But the Bible says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." 2 Timothy says, "I stand before you and I am your strength." And when He wanted me to do that, I found that I could be obedient, because never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And when I brought my mom home one day, as I had tried to get her to the bathroom and there was a big mess that I was going to have to clean up, the Lord whispered something to my heart. He said, "Today you will show my mercy. Today you will show my grace. Today you will show my forgiveness, my compassion to a woman who showed you none." And in that, He reminded me that He didn't just give His life for me. He didn't just give His life for you. He gave His life for my mom. You see, I had been loving on my mom for almost 16, 17 years. And this past November, when my mom was in the hospital, I got to go in through that door and I got to share the gospel with my mom. After 17 years of living a life before her that showed grace, that showed forgiveness, that showed mercy, the Lord allowed me to share Him with her. And that night I got to lead my mom to Christ. I had no clue that 8 weeks later my mom would breathe her last breath on this earth. But what a beautiful story of redemption. Isn't that what He does for us? He has entrusted us with so much. Every single one of us has a story. Every single one of us has a responsibility to give Him glory and honor and show grace and forgiveness to an unbelieving world. As I sing, would you thank Him that He gave His life for you? Thank you.
heart was broken, mine was mended. He became sin, now I am clean. The cross he carried bore my burdens. The nails that held him set me free. His life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die, God's son would die to save a wretch like his life for mine. And his scars of suffering brought me healing. And he spilled his blood to fill my soul. And his crown of thorns made me royalty. His life for mine. He was despised and rejected, stripped of his garment and oppressed. I am loved and accepted, and I wear a robe of righteousness. His life for mine. His life for mine.
Thank you, boys and girls. Thank you, boys and girls. You all can be seated now. Well, this is the last time that I'm going to have an opportunity like this to be with these young people, to be with Roberta, to be with Brenda Gray, to be with Adam, to be with our wonderful Randy Stewart up here. But I'm glad that we could have this opportunity to be with you. Excuse me, here at First Baptist Lexington. This church means the world to me. Ray Howe, Tommy, mean the world to me. Sterling Wall has been my stalwart supporter and dear friend for the whole time I've been here. God bless you, First Baptist Church. Continue to be who you are, a church on mission for Jesus Christ. Ray Howe.
Wow. Hasn't this been an amazing Sunday? Yes, it has. Before the service, I was putting some reserve signs out over here The girls from the Broyhill home, I was saying, we have some very special guests who are coming here today, and they're going to sit right here. And one of them said, that's me. And you're exactly right. As Dr. Blackwell said earlier, this is very rare to have children from literally all over the state to come together to one church for one celebration. And Dr. Blackwell, we are blessed and honored and humbled by this experience that you have given to us, your wonderful staff, and your wonderful young people and children who have been with us today. We are grateful for our relationship with Baptist Children's Homes, one that has been from the very beginning and will continue until the Lord calls us home. We hope and pray. Now, before we go, all of our children who are gathered here, and I know some of them took your seats, didn't they? Because the choice seats in First Baptist, for some reason, are at the back. But in just a moment after the benediction, I'd like for all of our children and young people, everybody just to kind of stay put, and I'd like for all of our members, you go by and you let them know how grateful you are for their presence with us today.